I would like to begin with our question for reflection. It's not printed in the bulletin this week because it's very long and it would have been unkind to ask Vivian to try to fit it into the space in the bulletin. It begins with a rather lengthy explanation. Lois and I have been watching a British television drama about a priest in England. In one episode, a young man named Vernon, with a serious mental illness, was released from the hospital because they were overcrowded and they needed his bed. Now, we were to learn later that he was not released because the staff thought he was okay, but rather because they thought he had a better support mechanism at home than the other candidates for release to find that extra bed. And since his mother took such good care of him, they thought that he would be in better shape to go home than any of the other candidates. Well, when Vernon got home, he had a violent episode. His mother called the family priest, who had just returned from a long day, and he heard the call on the answering machine, but decided not to pick it up. Decided he would see Vernon in the morning and take care of whatever his problem was then. Well, Vernon's mother then called the mental health professionals who, when they came, found him brandishing a knife, and according to their protocol, they were not to engage someone with a weapon, so they called the police. When the police arrived, one of the officers, well acquainted with Vernon, was trying to calm him down. While he was in the process of trying to calm Vernon, another officer pepper sprayed him. Vernon then ran from the house, rubbing his eyes with one hand while still holding the knife in the other hand, and ran directly towards an armed policeman who shot him dead. Now the question, who do you suppose felt guilty about Vernon's death? Not who was responsible, necessarily, but who felt as though they had some responsibility for Vernon's death. This week's sermon title is Elysium. It comes from a song that someone thought would be an appropriate song for this week's sermon. They thought evidently that Leonard Cohen wasn't challenging enough. It comes from the film Gladiator. The film score by Hans Zimmer was nominated for an Academy Award. The website, Lyrics Translate, writes this about this week's song. Lisa Gerrard sang the song in this made-up language, something known as idioglossia. She makes up the sounds and sings them. They aren't real words in any language, just sounds that almost sound like words. They recorded it in the moment, but there's no actual translation as to what she says or what it is that she meant. The song is closely associated with the English lyrics, "And Now We Are Free," which gives some clue into her intended meaning, but the words, for lack of a better word, must stand on their own. According to Merriam-Webster, the word Elysium came from the Latin, from the Greek eleison. In classical mythology, Elysium, or the Elysian fields, were the home of the blessed after death, the final resting place for the souls of the heroic and the pure. So it's easy to see how the word came to mean any place or state of bliss or delight. When we try to picture heaven, many of us probably see a lovely park. Okay, So the song is about heaven. So what is the story about? Allow me to paraphrase. Max is a rising star in what had been a family business. In the movie, it was the Roman Empire. Mark, the CEO in the movie Caesar, decides to promote Max to take over when he retires. Mark's son, Commodius, hears of the plan and stages a corporate coup and seizes control of the company and has Max arrested, probably for insider trading or something like that. Max escapes, but loses his family, and many of his friends go to jail. Trying to build a new life, Max, with the help of Mark's daughter Lucy, plots against her brother Commodius. Everything finally comes down to a showdown between Max and Commodius, and as so often happens in a world of greed, they destroy each other. The only upside in this otherwise tragic story is that through his efforts, Max's friends are set free, and Max sees a vision of Elysium, the Elysian fields. It is a classic Messiah tale. The Holy One forfeits the place of power for the sake of the many, and then through the Messiah's death, the many are saved. Well, this is where my week started. This was the raw data from which I had to work. I have a song about heaven with no words, only emotions to direct me, and a messianic story set in ancient Rome. So where in all of this is God's word for us today? Well, I do what we preachers do. I turn to the scriptures. This week's lection from the book of Hebrews is an interesting collection of pieces of information. It begins with the last of a long list of events from the life of Moses, the crossing of the Red Sea. Then it shifts to a new litany, a list of heroes of the people, those who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. That's a quote from our text. Joshua, who led the people into the promised land, Rahab, the prostitute who sheltered the spies at the Battle of Jericho, the judges who were mighty in battle and iconic King David, the keepers of the faith, the prophets, and Samuel who anointed kings. But then the list takes a turn from victorious figures to some who suffered greatly for their faith. It says there were the women who received their dead, others who were tortured, refusing to accept release. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So what is the common denominator on this list? What do Moses and Joshua, King David and Rahab the prostitute, the judges and the prophets all have in common? Well, the answer is faithfulness. Faithfulness in triumph and in suffering, in victory and in loss. Our text this morning continued, yet these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. If you'll recall, those whom Moses led from Egypt, those who stepped by faith into the sea, all died before entering the land of the promise, except for Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses himself only saw a fleeting glimpse of the promised land. God will triumph in the end, but the journey may be long. Those who died in the wilderness were part of an inheritance, but it was an inheritance they never saw. Those who were mighty in battle, strong in faith, and those who suffered greatly for it, those have written the story of God's people through the ages. And even though they were commended for their faith, they did not see the land of their promise. These were all part of the story, and they are not forgotten. But why do we have this account? This might be a good time to talk a little bit about the book of Hebrews. In the old King James Version, the book is entitled The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. One of my seminary professors said this of the title. He said, the only problems with the title is that it's not an epistle. It was not written by Paul, and it was not written to the Hebrews. The work is more of a sermon than a letter. Its style lends itself to be spoken or read aloud. And the author and the audience were almost certainly second-generation Christians who were enduring a time of great persecution around the end of the first century. These words were intended to encourage those embattled Christians to take heart. Suffering for the faith was not new, but those who endure will be commended for their faith. And even if they do not see God's promise fulfilled, they are part of the story. They may not see the promise fulfilled because, as the scripture continues, since God provided something better, so they would not be set apart from us, made perfect. We are now part of God's story in triumph and in suffering. And if we look around, we see triumphs of God's presence and people in the world, and also suffering and frustration. But we too will be judged not by our triumphs or victories, but by our faithfulness. The text continues, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. As Christians, we have the assurance of God's forgiveness. We need not carry the weight of our human frailty, but our actions do have consequences. What we do or what we fail to do impacts the lives of others and the unfolding of God's story in the world. In the TV drama that Lois and I have been watching, upon learning of Vernon's death, the priest, Michael, visited his priest figure, who assured him of God's forgiveness. And in time, Vernon's mother also forgave him. But Vernon was still dead, and his death haunted Michael. In the film Gladiator, our lead character, Maximus, died. His vision of Elysium, the Elysian fields, was of those that he had known and loved in life. It is said that when we die, our lives flash before our eyes. For some, that might be a terrifying thought. To be honest, we all, if we are healthy, have regrets that we've accumulated along the way. Things that we would like to forget, but sometimes find it difficult. Things that we have done or things that we have left undone. Most of them small enough. Missed opportunities to do an act of kindness or lying to someone who trusted us. Some can be matters of life and death, like deciding to drive after drinking or failing to pick up a call from someone in distress. Things that may have changed how God's story has been written in our lives and in the lives of those with whom we journey. For those who have been faithful, in triumph or in suffering, in victory or in loss, who have run the race with perseverance in the face of great challenges, the vision of heaven may not be so very different from the memories of life, like Maximus. See, we may never see God's kingdom in its fullness here on earth, but we are part of it. We all have a part in the writing of the story. Prophets and kings, priests and prostitutes will all be part of it. And for all our human weakness, we press on, forgiven and embraced by God's grace. And we pray that in the end, we will be at peace with ourselves. Now, this is a sermon that does not lend itself well to outlining or remembering in detail. It's more about prompting thoughts and feelings. And so I close with the closing song from that same television series, Broken. Tell me what it's like in heaven. I hope it's kinder than it is down here. With all the trials and tribulations, all the worry and living in fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We might be bruised, but we're not broken.